How deep in debt are you? $10,000? $15,000? Maybe even more? And every day that goes by, you know what happens. Your debt gets larger and larger and larger. Well, if you've had it with your mushrooming debt problem and the stress it is causing you, make this free call today to the Debt Solutions Network. One quick, no-obligation call is all it takes for one of our partner companies to show you how they can help you get out of debt. So if you have $10,000 or more in combined debt and you want to learn how you can solve it, make this free, no-obligation call now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035.
If you are in serious debt, you have to get out of it and fast. Call my friends at the Debt Solutions Network now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035. Call us 24/7. 800-814-5035.
The following program is wholly sponsored and produced by Stu Taylor on Business, which is responsible for its content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and or their respective companies and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station. It is strongly recommended that all listeners conduct their own due diligence on all companies mentioned and or seek out the advice and counsel of a financial professional. The guests on this show may pay a fee to appear on the show and are not affiliated with the show in any manner. This is Stu Taylor on Business. Now, Stu Taylor.
All right, a happy Friday to all. You'll definitely want to stick around you want to stick around for the whole show, but you don't want to miss these first two segments because very seldom, and only because I do 1,000 of these a year, and I can't sit and read all the books, does somebody come along with what I think is a classic, and I'll put that in this category right now. Is joining us is Benjamin C. Waterhouse. He's a historian of American politics, business, and capitalism. Got a degree in Princeton, got his PhD in history from Harvard, et cetera, et cetera. So I think you can see how well qualified he is. The name of the book, The Land of Enterprise, A Business History of the United States, and it is published in a hardcover by Simon & Schuster. What a pleasure to have you on, Benjamin.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'd like a very brief overview because the subject is too complex, too long, too comprehensive, of how we've gone from primitive times in constructing a society, even prior to our founding fathers, to where we are today, which is, I define as somewhat of a conundrum with the intersection of business, politics, culture, technology. It's become a very, very difficult time here. And how did we get here?
Well, you're right. It is a difficult time. You know, one of the things that when you take a long view of history, you can see that although the present is always has its own problems, there are a lot of things that we've been actually wrestling with for hundreds of years. And as you said, you know, the environment looks a little bit different. But from the very beginning of the American experience, we've been wrestling with the questions of how do we deal with private property, with private enterprise, with private interests, and you know, there's a lot of historical sort of precedents for some of the debates that we're seeing today. One of the things I try to bring out in The Land of Enterprise is that these debates about conflicting interests between different business groups or between business and the larger society really haven't just emerged in the last handful of decades, but really have been with us from the time of Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah, I am, and you've got a long list that I just want to get this in so people, we don't get through this interview without people realizing what's in the book. You have a comprehensive covering in this book of who's who and what's what in the land of enterprise. Maybe you can just summarize what I'm talking about so people would even have more interest in reading this book.
Well, what I try to do in this book is really weave together the story of business with the story of American history more broadly. And in order to do that, I take focus not only to include people that you may have heard of and think about when you think about business, your inventors like Edison or your Henry Fords and so forth, but also the people who are responding to changes in a business environment. And that can be policymakers, everybody from presidents to treasury secretaries. It can also be organizers of other groups in society, like labor groups and Some of the people that I discuss in the book are people, for example, in the 19th century, as corporations got bigger and more powerful, who organized workers together in groups like the Knights of Labor or the American Railroad Union under Eugene Debs. And also, you know, people that we hear about in American history but don't always think about in terms of business. Somebody like William Jennings Bryan running for president in the 1890s, or even somebody like Ralph Nader organizing consumers in the 1960s.
I think, and to me, my perspective has always been, there's been a battle between, since feudal times, between the intellectual institutions, academia, and the businessman. It's a conflict that just, it's like many other conflicts. The schism is so large. I think it's pretty obvious that I'm from the school of business where people have a much more practical view on what's going on. And we've seen that accentuate into something of extreme violence and concern today within our academic institutions, where it's actually become a very threatening situation constantly. In your mind, and even a move towards anarchy, in your mind, have you seen that transition move on? And let me just make one more statement by saying Charles Krauthammer, who's been a guest on this show, says everything's about politics.
Well, I suppose, you know, he's right to a degree. You know, the politics is personal, and it's and we've been in that place for quite some time. You know, I think you make an important point about education and academics, and I really do think it's a shame. One of the things that I try to do with the Land of Enterprise is, as I said, connect these stories. And in reality, there are lots of people within the academic world who take business quite seriously, not simply as something to be criticized or put down, but as something to be recognized as an integral part of society. And I think, you know, throughout American history, the country has done best when it's seen business as an integral part of society, not as something that's sort of separate from realms of culture or realms of intellectual pursuits, but something that is, you know, that's part of everything that we do, every TV show we watch, every food that we eat, and then we construct a society that tries to, you know, recognize that business is here, but is also something that has its own responsibilities to the broader good.
Yeah, and you make a statement in here. I'm just going to make your statement and then have you elaborate how private enterprise shapes public life.
That's right. You know, you don't have to be a sort of academic Marxist to see that economics shapes society and shapes social relationships between people, and that these things change over time. To just give you one example, the whole notion of having a kind of white-collar professional managerial class has a history, and that history is related to corporations and the ability of corporations to get larger, to create management structures where they changed who was responsible for what and set up these very large institutions. These things didn't exist much before the 1870s or 1880s, and when they were created, they created people that we know of today as a white-collar workforce that really kind of split and created something new in the social scene.
I think of a conversation I must have had less than a year ago. Some things just stick in your mind forever, Benjamin. A dear friend of ours, and he said to me, it's always been a cue and it hates that relationship. He says, Stu, what's the biggest problem in the world? And I sat and I thought, maybe this is a trick question. It seems pretty obvious to me what it was, and I waited 5 or 10 seconds and I said, terrorism. He said, wrong. Corruption. Corruption is the biggest problem in the world. Corruption has taken many forces, has taken many shapes and forms through the years, and it's manifested its ugly head everywhere. I don't want to get into philosophy or psychology or anything. I totally support that statement. How has corruption affected our society and its growth?
Well, I think when you talk about corruption, what you're talking about is power used in a way that's, you know, not conceived to be legitimate or not conceived to be fair, and the history of business brings a lot of that to bear and shifts in a lot of ways the locus of that power away from, you know, kings and queens and toward the owners of private enterprises and the people who control capital. And so I think, you know, the possibility for corruption takes a new form as businesses become bigger and become more a part of everyday life, which again is a process that has a history. You know, you can point to in history when this happens. It happens in the late 19th century into the early 20th century, and it's not for nothing that this is the moment in the early 20th century where a lot of people think we need to start dealing with corporate power. We need to start dealing with the possibilities of corruption by finding ways to, you know, compel companies to be transparent about what they do, to be fair and honest about who they hire, where they locate their facilities, and you see the creation of the modern regulatory government in the same period of time, all out of that concern for the corrupting power of big money.
I think if anyone looks at today's world, I mean, I don't know how you can deny the fact that what we're seeing every day makes our eyes open in shock, and the progression. You take three steps forward and one step back. I'm talking about a jump into the digital age of high technology and how it's affecting relationships. Howard Rheingold's book, Smart Mobs, best exemplified that, I think, 8-9 years ago. I never forgot it. What would you say was the other greatest jump that we've had in terms of one revolution to another?
I mean, I think the largest technological jump coincides with the largest business jump. And
let's hold that over. Poor timing on my part. We'll reopen that after a break. This is Stu Taylor. A marvelous book, honestly. And I'm not patronizing Benjamin Waterhouse. And I'm happy to say I don't know Benjamin Waterhouse. I'm just having the pleasure of meeting him. This book is a must read. The Land of Enterprise, the Business History of the United States. We'll be back.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.
Are you searching for a compelling speaker who can help your employees empower positive changes in their company? Then meet Stu Taylor. Stu is a true Renaissance man, whose track record as a businessman, professional broadcaster, and author assisted in modifying and shaping the behavior of thousands of people. His vast experience impacts people by emphasizing the need to be proactive and consistently goal-directed in a rapidly changing, fast-paced world where information grows exponentially. Stu Taylor's passion and sincerity translates immediately to audiences. He has mesmerized groups wherever he has spoken with refreshing candor and the ability to address the issues on a level people can identify with. Get results for your organization from someone who has translated his success to thousands. Check out his website at www.stutaylor.com.
Or contact Stu Taylor at 781-860-9548.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Biz Talk Radio. The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 a.m. WBNW.
This is John Bogle, founder of Vanguard, author of numerous books, including the recently published Enough. I've just done an interview with Stu Taylor, and we've had a lot of fun talking about the market, the insanity of the market, the problems faced by our political system and our economy, and the kinds of things that we have to really get going on to fix America, to get back to our old values.
Garden party. All right, we're back, and I want to say I wish I could have experienced a better night's sleep for the past almost 2 years, but for about 2 months right now, I've been using My Pillow. Wow, I'm telling you, just fluff it. It meets your specifications. I want you to call 800-950-0658, 800-950-0658, promo code STU, 50% off two premium pillows and two to go anywhere. It works. All right, we're rejoined by Benjamin C. Waterhouse. The book is The Land of Enterprise, A Business History of the United States. And I just got kind of caught in that little trap between breaks. You know, for years, many years ago, it seems like many years ago now, we talked about the big jump from the agricultural to the industrial revolution. And you were expounding on the most important jump today as we head into this digital age. And my goodness, it's limited. What's been science fiction, for example, has turned into reality. Where are we going?
You know, I think we're on a trend line that as much as things seem to change, it's been a pretty consistent trend line for businesses for the last generation to two, and that's toward bigger companies, more consolidated capital, and wealthier individuals at the top, and that's really been the trend since the 1970s. There was a moment, you know, after World War II when, although companies were getting big, they were also a lot more constrained. Mergers were not as sort of as common, especially kind of this horizontal integration within industries. And since the 1980s, we've been seeing a very constant trend toward bigger and bigger and more kind of almost classically monopoly-like companies. And, you know, when you combine that with technological developments, all these things that seem to be sort of new and innovative and exciting seem to be quickly kind of taken into that big business model, whether it's ride sharing or apps on your phone or any of these instant communication technologies.
Part of the sentimentality that we all grow up with has to disappear. We have to farm out some jobs. We've cut down manufacturing in order of new technology, which replaces people. There are cries, obviously, about the coal industry, which, by the way, I happen to support, having been defunct and outlived its time. But some of the modifications, when you think about that, you know, there's such a thing as clean coal. Everything is kind of twisted politically as such, so that the need is there. At what point does this integration of certain entities and certain fields become so filled and so limited because of the size of companies that we actually move into a destructive mode with the majority of the population?
Well, you know, I think this is the central question, and it's a central question that's been with us for quite some time. I'm a historian. I'm much better at looking to the past than to the future. But what I can say is, you know, the sentiments that you're describing have been with us for as long as there's been an us, or as long as the United States has been in existence. People have worried about the concentrations of power, concentrations of corporations. Certainly that was what animated the early part of the 20th century and the creation of a sort of government apparatus to try to break up the biggest and the baddest of the monopolies, your Standard Oils and things like that. But, you know, the question, and economists argue about this today, is how much concentration can you bear before competition basically disappears and there's no more incentive to compete, to innovate, to get better, and everyone at the top sort of rests on their laurels, leaving everyone else out.
Yeah, and I'm a big advocate of competition. Buying insurance by going across borders, huge advocate. I'm very, and this is obviously a very general statement, very anti-academia, because these people haven't experienced what real life is, so many of them. But what do you have to say about the limits of business in terms of, number one, either creating conflict or having the free way to continue to grow without being inhibited?
What we have, and then we've had this for as long as we've had modern capitalism, is a paradox. The conditions of free competition lead to a place where one entity outcompetes the others, and by doing that, eliminates competition. And this is exactly the problem people identified in the 1890s when they worried about Standard Oil or Carnegie Steel. And it's exactly the same problem that we face today. If we have a political philosophy that says we have to let business do its thing, we have to let capitalism run completely unimpeded, it creates a situation where it almost it risks extinguishing itself, because it, you know, everything will accrue to the top, and you run out of competition. So some of the policies that got put into place in the 20th century were specifically aimed at creating competition by limiting the complete free reign of businesses. And this is often pushed by other businesses. You know, that's the important thing. This isn't just sort of an academic government project to constrain business, but these are policies, antitrust laws and the like, that were put into place to defend the interests of smaller companies that risked being completely run into the ground by the consolidation of the bigger ones.
I mean, I'll just make the statement because I can't avoid it here. For every new regulation Trump is putting in, he's getting rid of two regulations. I think he's doing a marvelous job in spite of his insanity. But let's take a look at the politics and the corporate power here. Self-righteous, hypocritical SOBs. I don't want to vomit. It's too early in the morning. But I'm ready to hear when I talk about Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and what they're ultimately going to do to this society to transform it into some kind of an anarchy or social state.
Well, I think the thing about the regulations that often gets lost in that whole conversation is that, you know, regulations aren't all the same, and they aren't all the same weight. So this two-for-one thing kind of reflects an idea that any regulation does as much harm or good as any other. And I think there's a much better, more complicated, and maybe nuanced path of trying to figure out what types of regulations promote the things that we want, promote the competition, promote the growth, but also inhibit the bad stuff. And I think, you know, when you talk about the politicians that you mentioned, they get a lot of support from their supporters because they tend to paint the bad guys as really, really bad guys. And I'm not going to say that there aren't bad actors in the business world, but I think, you know, what the lessons of business history that I try to bring out in The Land of Enterprise can teach us is that there's a way that business can be a functional social actor that is not completely separate from everything else that we do, that doesn't have complete free reign to do whatever it wants, but at the same time brings benefits to the broader society through jobs and through new innovations and things that make life better.
All right. Again, I want to thank you. It's been really enjoyable having you on. Stay on after a break, Benjamin C. Waterhouse. The Land of Enterprise, A Business History of the United States. Don't miss it. Get this book. We'll return.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-463-1749. 800-463-1749. That's 800-463-1749. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-425-1023. That's 800-425-1023.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-373-0345. That's 800-373-0345. Again, 800-373-0345.
Biz Talk Radio. Exchange, Sundays, 9 to 10 a.m., a.m. 1120, WBNW.
Hi, folks. I'm Dinesh D'Souza. I made the movie 2016, Obama's America, also the movie America, Imagine a World Without Her. My latest film is Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party. I'm a big fan of Stu Taylor, love being on his show.
All right, we return. I always had a fascination for science fiction, and a gentleman here is, I believe it's his second book, David Gatesbury. The book is Walking on Mars 2, Returning to the Red Planet, and I'll let him tell you what the book is about. It is published by Fulton Books. You can go to fultonbooks.com, amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com. We share the feeling for science fiction. What about your book? It is, I guess this is your second book, correct?
Well, I've written a few different books, and I don't just concentrate on one subject like some writers do. I write science fiction, mystery. I wrote a spy thriller. But Walking on Mars tells of the first expedition to Mars that happens in the year 2037, and the ship lands in the Cydonia region. Stu, imagine a crew of five astronauts landing on Mars, and they must walk roughly 7 kilometers to reach an unmanned cargo ship that carries the Mars rover. Mission planners arranged it this way because if their ship didn't land where it was supposed to, the duration of their stay on Mars would be shortened, and they'd have a greater need for food, stuff, and water rather than this vehicle. In the distance, they see sand ramping up one side of a mountainous anomaly. And upon reaching their cargo ship, they now view the anomaly as a spectacular eye pyramid. In an odd way, it resembles the eye pyramid on the dollar bill, and the eye is recessed, so it is never shown in overhead satellite photography. The first thing they think of is that there must be Martian mummies inside the pyramid, perhaps the treasury of a once great monarch. They breach this colossal shrine to find statues and cryptic writing that chronicle the life of a revered Martian king. The monarch played a major role in ridding the region of monstrous predatory beasts, and a statue depicts him bravely facing off with one. The text also foretells the coming of distant travelers from afar and threatens the lives of those who dare disturb this legendary ruler's resting place.
You know, it's hard for me to interrupt here because I find it so fascinating. I want to know how the story unfolds. But we don't want to ruin it for the rest of the people. Sounds like a great story. What's been the response to the book, and what's the hook? What's the hook to get people to buy it?
Well, you know, if you're interested in science fiction, this story is much like something Jules Verne or H.G. Wells would have written. And the cover, when you see the cover, presented on the cover is a real NASA satellite photograph, and practically everything that goes on in the story happens right there.
Last comments for 10 or 15 seconds here?
I've written other stories for readers who enjoy a gripping mystery ghost story. I wrote The Haunting of Strathmore Heights that was written in a Gothic style and in the first person to intensify happenings in the story. I also wrote a spy thriller titled The Triad Conspiracy.
All right, lots of books. You're obviously a very talented gentleman. David Gatesbury get a copy of it, Walking on Mars 2, Returning to the Red Planet. And the book is published by Fulton Books. Thanks a million for joining us.
All righty. Thank you now. Take care.
All right. We're going to move along. And joining us right now is Tracy Richardson. She's the author of The Adventures of Valerie, spelled V-A-L-L-O-R-I-E, and Ashley, and The First Day of School. We got to lighten it up a little bit here, don't we, after talking about the history of the United States, the business world, and a little bit on science fiction. So now we go to a different kind of story. Tracy, welcome.
Thank you.
By the way, the book is published by Fulton Books. You can go to fultonbooks.com, amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com. What's special about this book, and whom is it for?
It's for children from age preschool to, like, first grade. And it's about my granddaughter and my daughter.
Why did you write the book? Was this something to give them to cherish, or was it more of a book filled with messages?
To cherish, something to cherish.
Okay, what's so special about the book? Who were Valerie and Ashley, and how did they forge their relationship as two little girls and their first day back to school and the fun that they have? I know you think most kids going back to, I hated it, I always hated it, but they're excited to see their teachers and their and the friends that they have. What's so special about that?
Well, it's special because, like I said, it's my daughter and it's my granddaughter, and they really love school. They love to read and do math.
Do you have any other books that you've written, or do you have any that you're going to write?
Yes, I'm like going to do a little series of The Adventures of Valerie Ashley.
What was the most difficult part of writing this book?
Actually, it wasn't difficult. It was more fun because it's part of what they do every day.
How long did it take you to write it?
Just a month.
What kind of a response did you get from those who have read the book?
Everybody seems to love it. I've got a lot of good feedback.
All right. Any last things you'd like to say before we move on?
No, just thank you for the interview, and just check my book out, everyone, and that's it.
All right, The Adventures of Valerie and Ashley, The First Day of School, published by Fulton Books, written by Tracy Richardson. Thanks so much, Tracy.
Thank you again.
All right. How are we doing there, Laurie? Okay. I've gotten a lot of requests from people, and I always appreciate your feedback. Maybe I should just take these 2 seconds to tell you how thrilled I am to work with everyone out there. No, this isn't a goodbye speech. This isn't Bill O'Reilly saying goodbye. But I do want to say that my website is stutaylor.com, stutaylor.com. And if you're interested in appearing on the show, advertising, having your company interviewed, or securing a professional speaker, it's all there on my website. You can go to stutaylor.com, stutaylor.com. And be sure to let me know if there are any special topics, a direction, a tendency you'd like me to go in with these shows. I try to keep it very mixed and very diverse. But I listen very, very carefully to everyone who contacts me on this. So I'm hoping to hear from you. And do not hesitate to contact me at stu@stutaylor.com. So we're going to come up on a break here, and only because I'm sure you know how much I enjoy it, let me know if you like the choice and the selection of introductory sounds that I have to the segments. I happen to love them, and of course I'll make the ultimate decision, but I would appreciate some feedback, because the best way to get results on a show and keep your listenership is to keep them happy, and even though I get a lot of responses I do want to reach out to those people who haven't, and to let me do what I can to accommodate you. We got lots of great guests coming up in subsequent weeks, and as a matter of fact, Monday, a gentleman named Michael Heller will be joining us. He's the head guy at Very Bank in Rhode Island, and I think you're going to want to listen. You're going to want to hear this. I look forward to chatting with Michael Heller coming up here on Monday. Also, and I don't mind. I get people who call all the time. They miss the name of the book. They miss the author. I'm happy to answer everybody. Sometimes these shows move along so fast that you just can't keep up with it. All right, we're gonna break. Come back for our last segment, Steve Taylor.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
Are you searching for a compelling speaker who can help your employees empower positive changes in their company? Then meet Stu Taylor. Stu is a true Renaissance man whose track record as a businessman, professional broadcaster, and author assisted in modifying and shaping the behavior of thousands of people. His vast experience impacts people by emphasizing the need to be proactive and consistently goal-directed in a rapidly changing, fast-paced world where information grows exponentially. Stu Taylor's passion and sincerity translates immediately to audiences. He has mesmerized groups wherever he has spoken with refreshing candor and the ability to address the issues on a level people can identify with. Get results for your organization from someone who has translated his success to thousands. Check out his website at www.stutaylor.com.
Or contact Stu Taylor at 781-860-9548.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-2130. That's 800-616-2130. 800-616-2130.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-460-2558. That's 800-460-2558. Again, 800-460-2558.
Biz Talk Radio.
Morning 6 to 8 on WBNW, 1120 AM.
This is Tony Blankley, the Washington Times columnist. Listen to Stu Taylor, the smartest voice in Boston.
Oh, I just want to say that, you know, people email me and say, you know, why have you got Tony Blankley on? He's since deceased. Tony Blankley, the great writer for the Washington Times, was a friend of mine, and it's a tribute for me to be able to have his continuous exposure on radio. So there's the answer to that, and we continue here with the big story. Well, it's a big story. I keep saying, why are we wasting our time with it? That's the O'Reilly story, the O'Reilly dismissal through Fox, and the shakeup that's going on at Fox right now. And like O'Reilly or don't like O'Reilly, I mean, I think he was a superbly talented TV host. About as good as it gets. On the other hand, personally, and I've been over at Fox, and I mentioned this yesterday, I've been over there several times, he was not really well-liked by the majority of people. I don't think he spoke with Sean Hannity for years, and I think Sean and Hannity appreciated the separation so that O'Reilly was on at 8 and he went on at 10, but evidently Hannity does not want to go on at 9, and there's a big shakeup over there. And I like what they're doing. They're going to put on Tucker Carlson, who's very well deserving. He's hard nosed. I think another good choice might have been Laura Ingraham. There are just some people who you feel could really carry a show. Eric Bolling, I think, is sensational, but I just don't know if he could carry the ball as effectively. And then the 5 is going to come on after that from 9 to 10, and then Hannity. So there are changes. The changes in the name of the show, it's just going to be called The Factor right now. O'Reilly is vacationing in Italy. He just met the Pope. He talked about, and his lawyer talked about, a brutal character assassination. Now, because you settle, I tend to think this supports the brutal character assassination and on one hand. On another hand, it doesn't. When you've got 4 and more women standing in line, and you've got payouts of over $13 million, and you had a payout alone of $20 million to Gretchen Carlson, there's just got to be something to this. There's got to be something to this. And because at that point, you know, if it were one accusation and it wasn't worth the publicity that Fox helped paid out $13 million for, you might turn around and say, I'm not going to stand for this anymore, and I'm going to hold my ground. But here's the bottom line. And I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to be hard-nosed about it. 50 advertisers pulled their advertising from O'Reilly. He did, I think, $158 million in 1 year. He drew everybody into a show because it was successful. When you get 50 sponsors leaving and you lose all that revenue and then you feel you're going to start losing listeners or viewers, you have to make the move. So although it wasn't my favorite show on television, like so many others after 15 years, if I was sitting in front of a television at 8 o'clock, I'd watch O'Reilly. He's on leave until the 24th, but it's permanent leave this time. And I've heard, most of what I heard is that this guy, while giving a lot to charity, and there are two sides to just about everybody, he really didn't treat people very well. And I'll just leave it by saying that on my trips to Fox, I get that information very readily from people. So the audience doesn't like it, and we'll have to see what the kickback and the flack is, but like everything else, we will end up returning to what we can define as normality. O'Reilly, according to many, was the heart and soul of Fox. He truly was. George Will came on, and I've had George Will on this show. And I won't forget the interview that was done with George Will about 8 or 10 months ago, where Ryan O'Reilly, after George Will made a comment about one of his books, a negative comment, O'Reilly blasted him on air. It's the only time I've ever seen George Will squirm or be uncomfortable. Well, this must be a great time for George Will, who with his vindictive behavior, who blasted O'Reilly. Nobody liked him. Everyone hated him. I mean, you're part of Fox. You know what to do? Diplomatically stay out of it. But George Will he could not do it. So will Fox continue to be a powerhouse in cable news? I have my doubts because they're now moving towards the center. And the Murdochs didn't have any choice. The kids wanted O'Reilly removed. You had Roger Ailes, who himself was fired, and Rupert Murdoch, who wanted O'Reilly staying here. But we've got a whole new show, and those of you who have lived longer than 6 weeks, or should I make it 6 years or 10 years, know that life is about, it's about change. It's about change, and I have no information how many of these allegations are true and are not true, but you know, when something reaches a high pitch like this, it's time to make a move, and they have. I'll miss O'Reilly. I love Tucker Carlson. Does a great job. I think it's a terrific choice to put him in there. Boy, as he moved up the ladder, I've always raved about Tucker Carlson. But, you know, there are just some people who seem to be irreplaceable. And Bill O'Reilly maybe one of those. If anybody wants to contact me about anything, you can do so by going to stu@stutaylor.com. Just email me at stu@stutaylor.com. I'm very communicative. Be more than happy to answer your emails. And you can go through my website at stutaylor.com. I think you'll find a lot of interesting things on there. Want to thank everyone for listening. As always, appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Stu Taylor.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.